The Up With The Bonnets podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Unicorn Cleaning Services. They offer a range of facilities from domestic and commercial cleaning, which includes lets and Airbnb, and also offer ironing and laundry services. You can find a link to their website in our Facebook and Twitter bios. You can also reach them by visiting their Facebook page, or you can contact them by visiting their website, unicorncleaningservices.co.uk.
It's from now for Grady! Whiten! He sends Dundee United down!
Gallagher should be scored and a brilliant goal! Neil McGann for Dundee!
Sends one in!
Oh, Brian Herman with a header! Dundee have taken the lead!
Good ball in.
Knocks across by Fogner! And a damn chuck!
Nice ball inside! It's in! Dundee have scored! An amazing winner that will be!
Sprinting from the midfield, Georgian Nzadze! Absolutely brilliant!
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Up With The Bonnets podcast. This one is a player interview. I don't think we really need to do a long introduction. He bleeds dark blue. He is on his way to making over 250 appearances for Dundee. Also, you know, he's played right back, he's played centre back, he's played in midfield as well, and now he finds himself at left back. Cammy Kerr. Cammy, how are you doing, mate?
Yeah, good guys. Thanks for having me on. Been looking forward to this, so thanks very much.
So have we. Panic in. We had a few technical issues beforehand, but yeah, we got there.
We'll be all right. We'll be fine. Totally fine.
So just, well, obviously Paul's here as well.
Thanks.
Forgot to introduce
you. Shunted to the second. That's fine. Usually first.
I've got my new co-host, Cammy.
Yeah.
But Cammy, we'll just fair right into the question. So, signing for Dundee, how did that happen?
Well, obviously, when I was younger days, it was community stuff, just going to the community classes at Dundee. But to sign full time, I was obviously in the youth system. And I would have been 16, played in the 19s, obviously, with administration stuff. All the age groups were totally different. They were all mucked up. You were playing up, you were playing down every week. And it was just a case of playing away with the 16s and eventually going up to the 19s, sitting on the bench. And that was when Barry Smith was kind of taking the 19s, and then obviously what happened with Admin, he ended up being the manager. And it was Gordon Wallace that was kind of taking the 19s. And it was end of fifth year for me. It was end of the exams and stuff like that. Last exam, came home, missed call, Gordon Wallace. I was like, oh, I know what this is. So obviously, I was nervous because that's the only thing you wanted to do.
Was
sign a contract, and phoned him back, and he just says, look, the managers want to offer you a contract, full time. So like that was me set what I wanted to do, and that was kind of the start of it there. Obviously full time, being Dundee, sign your first professional deal. So yeah, that was great, but obviously that was just the beginning of a long journey probably.
I mean, you mentioned it was during the administration. Was there a lot of boys that were offered full time contracts around that time, or did you find yourself really lucky to be offered one?
No, I think I was probably lucky in the fact that the years before it was people like Jamie Reid and stuff who kind of were stretched thin as, like you say, like a skeleton staff. Like they had to run about and do so many things just because they didn't have like the youth boys there. There was about six of them full time that were doing like everything, but they'd get to train. The lucky part of that is they'd probably get to train with the first team a lot. Whereas now, like you see, you know, youth teams that are like strength wise, like they've got a lot of boys, but they'll never get an opportunity to go and show themselves to the first team. And that's how people like Jamie and people even like Danny Cavana and that getting on the bench and stuff like that, that's how they got their chance as well, because they went in and made an impact with the first team. Whereas a lot of boys might probably not get that now. So I was probably lucky in that stage as well, but we were second year. So we were a year younger than Jamie and stuff. The guys that I went full time, I think there was about five or six of us that got a deal full time, which again isn't a lot, but that made about 12, 13 of us that were a squad kind of, and it was a close-knit group, mainly a boys for Dundee that all got on. So it was great, that was kind of my first year in with them, learning. So yeah, it was good.
See, when you signed for Dundee, did you honestly think I'll still be here like nearly 250 games later?
Nah, like, people ask that all the time. It's such a difficult kind of thing to answer because I never really stop and think about it. And even now, like, I've got, obviously, maybe speak about that later on or whatever, but I've got things in my head that I want to get to and I want to achieve and all that, but you never sit and think, I will have done that. And even when I was young, all it was like the next day, the next game, trying to impress all, and then it just seems to be a snowball effect for there.
Yeah.
That like even the things that have happened, like wee monumental things that have happened in your career, not make you, but take you probably one way or another. And at some point, it's like a fork in the road of where you're going to go. And it's crazy how kind of things may not work or might work for you that you've made that decision down the line someplace. Eh? So I don't really, I look now and think, you're almost at 250 games for the team you've grown up supporting. You're going, like, that's good. But at that time when I look back, it's went so quick, literally like a flash. I could think back to my first day full time with Barry Smith and Ray Farthingham, you know, my first time getting hauled in the first team dressing room, and you've got initiation. Like, I remember that like it was yesterday with boys like Rab Douglas and stuff like that. Like, you're going into a changing room with big characters, eh? And that makes you not who you are, but it certainly gives you a thicker skin, and you've got to try and deal with things better.
I didn't even think of a question for that. Like, what? Come on then, what was the initiation?
Oh, well, like, obviously you've got your song in that you go in with the first team, but I remember, like, it was, like, when I was younger, I was the smallest of the group, proper nervous, because I was, like, a Dundee fan. Like, I was going to all the games still, even on a Saturday when I wasn't doing the kit. So you get hauled in, and they're all up on, like, the benches, standing, big Rabs to your left, right wee man, like, what are you going to bring to the dressing room? And I'm going, 16-year-old going, what? And then, like,
I'll clean your boots.
Yeah, like, well, I was on his boots as well. I was like, oh no. And then, like, just things, ridiculous things, like, show us your best sex position. I'm 16-year-old going, I've not got a clue. But, like, you know what I mean? Not a clue. So it was just crazy. Like, 16-year-old, you're thrown right in the deep end. But again, they're kind of things that just kind of do give you that thicker skin, I suppose.
Well, I guess if Big Rav's telling you to sing a song, you're singing a song.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're doing that,
So what was that, about 2010-11? So you're singing Lady Gaga or something.
Yeah, 2012 that was. And you're just, I can't even remember what I sung, to be fair, but you're proper nervous. But they're things that you've got to do as a young lad as well. There's so many things that happen as a young lad that first team boys are probably testing you, and they're deliberately doing it, because we do it, like, being a wee bit older now, like, you do it to the younger lads now. It's obviously slightly different stuff now, but just wee things that you think, right, okay, he's dealt with that well, you know what I mean, good character and stuff like that. So
do you want to be like big character in the dressing room? So who would have probably been like your biggest influence at the beginning of your career?
Beginning of my career.
Before
I went full time, or when I was in.
Well, maybe like biggest influence before you went full time and.
Obviously everyone knows growing up that, like, Barry Smith was like my hero.
Yeah.
My biggest influence was my dad was like everything in terms of, it never put pressure on me, but he was the one that got me into football and stuff like that. And I'll probably be hated for saying this on a podcast, but Paul Dixon was actually a massive, massive influence on me because when I first went into the youth academy, I got played left back. And Paul Dixon was playing left back for Dundee, and he became like, I tried playing the way he did in terms of, he had a great left foot, you know what I mean? So I tried to work on that all the time. And I was proper devastated when he went to United, but obviously, I've spoke to him since. I actually know him now, and that's the weird thing. Like, my first game, my first SPL start was up against him, and it was like a surreal kind of thing. It was like I'd grew up all these years trying to get better on my left foot to be not play like him, but you know what I mean. Yeah. To get better because I played in the academy. He was the first team player, and then to play up against him, so. obviously
you
have
them in your back pocket as well.
Go into that, but just me things like that. Like, obviously, my dad and stuff's been massive for me. Mm-hmm. But Barry, everyone knows it's not a secret really that he was so big in me growing up because I was just in love with Dundee and I thought he is Dundee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He epitomises what Dundee's about in a team full of like superstars. He was a captain mm-hmm. of that team still. And
folk forget that.
I just don't think he gets still enough credit for what he done for Dundee.
Yeah.
Even though he's one of the biggest legends I think there is mm-hmm. in a Dundee shirt. Eh?
He kind of flies under the radar when you look at the names that he's up against.
Oh yeah.
The appearances and like you say,
it's incredible. Yeah.
But I think he was due a testimony and he turned it down. Obviously in the situation mm-hmm. we're in at the time. Don't think the club were well off, but even then he just wanted to get on with it. And I think a lot of people forget that as well.
Nah, yeah, that's just a mark of who he is, I think.
Yeah. Going on with your Dixon comment there, I can imagine the boys that had the Dixon Judas sheets out after he signed for the
yeah.
scoring it out. Yeah. You're going to bring out scoring, but Kevin now.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, Dundee had some youth boys coming through then. It was Kevin McDonald and Scott Robertson and that, for Scythe.
Yeah, they were brilliant.
Someone else. See, in the kind of like your early Dundee career, was there any sort of like setbacks that you faced? And if you did, how did you overcome them?
Well, see, growing up in my youth, like when I played youth, I was always the smallest by, and I'm saying a good bit.
Mm.
And that was kind of a big thing then, that it was like all about, oh, you're too small. Like that, it's always kind of been labelled as Scottish football.
Yep.
You're too small, you can't play, you need to be a big lad and you bulk yourself up and you've got to grow. And that was every year when it was probably from 14s, 15s and the jump was to 17s when we were still playing SPL football at the academy. Mm. And from 14s to 17s, every year that was what got labelled, hey, you've got to grow.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to grow, we're worried about your... And even when I went full time, I was still the smallest, it just stuck with me. And from probably like age 19... I had that wee, you know what I mean, growth spurt, and I was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But that was probably my only, not only obviously, but my main kind of setback when I was younger, that I was always the smallest, but I obviously came through that. But going full time, once I signed full time, I've probably more setbacks than good things in terms of like going out on loan for a second time. That almost done my head in completely, but you come out the other side of it. Because I thought I was ready to go and play.
Mm-hmm.
I went out and got young player at Peterhead, had 6 months there, done really well. And I came back and I thought, right, I'm going to challenge. I think it was McGinn and Gary Irvine at the time.
Yeah.
And I came back, start of the season, Hartley, in and off, out the bench, and then out the squad. And I think I've spoke a few times about this. And I went up to Inverness with the 20s and got sent off. And I went in the next day to Dens to, not to kind of make a point, but kind of punish myself a wee bit. I was pretty bad for doing that when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
And Hartley was in, it was a day off, and he wouldn't speak to me. He went on the pitch with the Bryans, the groundsman, and I was doing running around the track, and he just rubbered me. And I think he phoned Jim McNally that night and was like, take him back. And then,
what? Yeah. Sick.
And I went back there and my head just wasn't in, because I thought I should have been playing.
Mm-hmm.
But looking back now, it was the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing that he done. And I owe Hartley like a lot.
Yeah.
Kind of like what you were saying, like, you know, the test of character and stuff like that. Do you feel like that was...
I think it was, yeah. I don't know if he'd maybe... I think he maybe now he would say it was definitely the test of character. But he was probably learning as a manager as well. But I just thought, how could he do that? Like, I was like, couldn't even speak to me that day, but he was just probably annoyed at me. And but that second spell, I learned 10 times more.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first time I went, none went wrong. You're on about setbacks.
Yeah.
Sent off, not playing, just not, I couldn't believe how bad I was playing. I was like, how can't I play the way I was before? But then when you come back and you know, I mean, you go on to about things kind of falling into place.
Mm.
They luckily done that for a wee bit, but that would probably be my biggest setback, I think.
always seen you and Hartley pictures together, you know, like during that time as well.
Yeah.
I always felt like he maybe.
No, he was.
Seen you as a, like he always took you, also he's a manager, but yeah. Took you under the wing because you see he'd be at games, like be on BBC Scotland or something, and then you see him there and you'll be beside him, like taking in the game as well.
He was. Obviously, there was that spell, but you go back to it. I think he was trying to make me stronger. And by the end of the time that he left, I'd like to think I was one of his reliable players. I owe him a lot. You're right. He used to say to us anyone want to go to a game tonight? And it was I think it was the game you're on about. It was the 4-4 playoff. Mm-hmm. And I just love going to football games. Eh? Yeah. I love what boys are like. Why would you want to go and watch football on your day off? I'm like, I love going to games. Eh? And he was like, right, I'll pick you up at 6:30, then make sure you're there, don't be late. And that's all you'd say. And I was thinking, is he taking the mic here? Is he being serious? But I'd make sure I was there at 6:30. He was there right on the dot, jump in, take you up and just speak about football. And you just learn off him so much. Yeah,
class.
With the career he's had. And he was honestly brilliant. I loved him to bits.
Mm-hmm.
So it was obviously sad when he left, eh? But yeah. So that happens in football, and it's just part of it.
Yeah, some things run its courses in football.
Yeah, sadly, that is the way of it.
But we'll speak about your coming through the ranks, but just one more time. But you see plenty of players coming in who you think they've got something about them. Maybe came on for a few minutes here and then, something like a bit of skill, and the one to watch.
Uh-huh.
But 9 times out of 10, boys fall by the wayside and they're released, and you maybe no hear for them again. Uh-huh. So. How do you feel? What do you feel you've done differently to other players to kind of get to where you are now? Or is it just a case of you got your head down and just worked hard?
No, yeah, it was that. But everyone kind of, I wouldn't like to say labels me with just being a hard worker, because I'd hate that just to be the case. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Mr. Reliable hard worker.
You know what I mean?
Take some questions with you.
Delete.
It was that, though, in terms of when I went full time, I knew that there were better players than me by a mile.
Mm-hmm.
I was never, growing up, I was probably one of the best in the team in terms of I was technically good, I could use both feet, but I was never the best player, mm-hmm. Change a game or. Mm-hmm. But when I went full time, I just made sure from the moment, day one, I was I'm giving this everything I've got, and I can't fall short of that. My attitude had to be spot on. It was I was willing to do the kit every week. I mean, I was look, can I just do the kit every week? So it got to the point, because I loved going to the games, it was right, Cammy and one more is doing the game. So they were buzzing that they got the extra weekend, but I was just buzzing I was going to the games and being in amongst it. So I'd have to just say it was my attitude in that. Mm-hmm. And I try and keep that now to this day in terms of, my attitude has to be spot on and stuff like that. I was so disciplined with everything I'd done, which I still get pelters for it now from some of the lads that I came through with, Mr. Busy Balls and all that, but, all that stuff, but that's just the way it was. I just knew that if I was going to try and be a footballer, that I wanted, all I'd wanted to do since I was 4 year old, that's what the kind of sacrifice I had to do to get there, so that would be it.
Yeah. You must be quite jealous of the good players now that get to go and do the ball boy duties then.
Yeah, I only got to do that once. Yeah, they get to do that, and I only got to do it a few times, so a bit jealous of that.
You could have showed off, because that set at the stands didn't keep you up. I know, so well,
I would have been no use of that, but it was good.
We'll speak about the breakthrough into the team, would you think?
Yeah, let's go for it. Yeah, just move away for the youth side.
Yeah, let's go
for
that. Getting
to the first team.
So your first taste of playing with the first team came in a 5-1 victory away to Montrose in a friendly in the summer of 2013. Obviously, it was only a friendly, but for a young laddie, it must have been a huge milestone for you in your career.
Yeah, it was massive. It was, again, kind of surreal experience, but one of them that you're just caught up in the moment and your things just fly by. You don't really remember much of it, but I think it was with John Brown was the manager at the time.
Mm.
And he was just so, if you're in the first team, you're in the first team, you're treated the same. You know what I mean? It was just one of them. Up on the minibus that night, got on, it was great. And that was kind of the start of it, as you say, getting involved in, I had a real good pre-season with the first team. And that was kind of the start of breaking through, trying to get in the squads. But then you had the disappointment of being left out a lot. And that's a tough thing as a younger lad, is like you're going down to, I don't know, Queen of the South away. And you're thinking to yourself, like, I probably deserve to be ahead of him. And even being on the bench. But that wasn't always the way it worked. And probably now, even still at first team level, that's not the way it always works. You find yourself that the young lads, maybe one dropped out, lack of experience, which again is understandable.
Yeah, totally.
But that's where, again, you've got to be probably thick-skinned in terms of taking the knockbacks. Like every other week, you're training, playing with the 20s, you're doing well. You get to this Saturday, right, you're left out. And 9 times out of 10, it was me. Because it was me and Whitey that were on the cusp a wee bit of coming through. But Whitey would always make the bench. Mm. And I'd be sitting there going, left out. And Jinky would give me the arm every other week. He'd go, can't wait. I'm like, yeah, I know, I'm left out. You don't need to tell me. But you just have to stick at it. You've got to stick at it. And then over time, it would be, you're on the bench, and then you'd go and you'd kind of, you'd understand that if your strip was out, then you've got a chance, and you start switching on to all these wee things. But even like on the last day of the season we went up, I remember the squad had been, like, I'd been on the bench, I'd played the 2 games, the last 4 games, and we went up, actually started Cowdenbeath and Morton. And I remember going to Jinky on the Friday before the game against Dumbarton on the Saturday, worried that I wasn't going to get on the bench, because obviously the older lads hadn't they trained, but they'd seen that there was last game, you know, get on the bench. So the squad was, there was about 20 odd boys training, and I'm sitting there going, I'm going to be left out again. But Jinky's like, don't worry, you've done great, so nothing to worry about. And I obviously got on the bench that day hoping that I would get on, but the game was that tense that there was not a chance we were coming on. So me and Whitey were probably just happy to be involved and be a fan.
There or thereabouts. Yeah.
So, I think there's a picture of you and George walking around.
Yeah, the one at the Bobby Cox. Yeah. That was good. That was
you're looking at me there. Picture me with the
Speaking of players that are bulked up, Whitey, he doesn't have bulked up, is he?
Yeah, Whitey's...
I know it's not the day we have this podcast. No. He got injured and came back, and then...
He was solid.
I was thinking it was when he obviously done his cruciate. And I think James McPate was out injured with him at the time, so they went and done their rehab, and he came back an absolute unit. So fair play to him.
At the gym all the time,
Yeah.
That's what happens going to the gym with McPate, for God's sake. Yeah. You know what I mean, might give him a phone.
Well, we'll speak about your debut against Livingston. That was way back in 2014.
Yeah.
I love these stories for players when you hear them, because it's all about how you found out, and obviously your feelings would have been like over the moon, nervous, probably a mixture of fear, everything. But like, how did it come across? How did you get told that you would be starting that match?
Well, the Livy game, I ended up coming, it was actually a sub, so I came on, but we were playing terrible that day. I remember it, we hadn't created anything, and Bomber John Brown, the gaffer, you could just tell the game just wasn't going well. To be fair, I must have been struggling for bodies if I was coming. But I just remember him turning round and he just went, Cammy, go and get yourself warmed up. And I went, is he saying, boys, go on, get yourself ready. So I ran out as quick as I could, Bobby Cox end, and just started warming up. And I think Karen, the physio at the time, had to actually go and tell Kyle Benedictus, go and warm up with him and calm him down. Just make sure he's all right.
We just
sprinting around. Just sprinting up and down with full pelt.
Up and down the trophy road.
Just going sprint. Kyle's coming, Cameron, look, you'll be fine. Just relax, enjoy it, blah, blah. So all I hear is the whistle from Bomber. He just used to be able to do it through his, you know what I mean? And called me across. And he went, get yourself ready, son, you're going on. I was just shaking, getting ready as quick as I could. He was like, calm down, you'll be fine. And I went on. And I remember I had a shot that probably a routine save for the goalie. But for those 10 minutes, you're just, honestly, it was like, I don't know how to explain it. It's like you're in a different space, like head space. Yeah. Like, it's like you're watching yourself play in like a computer game or something. It was mental.
Yeah, legs are moving, but you're
running around. It was like everything was like a big blur. Obviously got beat 1-0, but just to even be on the pitch, like you've made your debut for Dundee, brilliant, like proud moment.
Mm-hmm.
But disappointing result, very disappointing result that day. I remember that day being very flat.
Yeah.
So yeah, gutted to lose, but on a personal note, mm-hmm. it was just a total surreal moment. Eh?
Did you get on before Whiting? Was he playing?
I don't know. I think Whitey would probably have been on by then, yeah.
Yeah,
Whitey was on by then.
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
John Brown, everybody has, like, he's always kind of had a kind of yin yang kind of reputation among supporters and even Dundee fans as well. But the people that I spoke to that worked with him at Dents absolutely loved him.
Oh, yeah.
So he was just, he was old school, but he was fantastic.
He was amazing, yeah. Again, he's up there with one of the managers that I have like so much respect and time for. Like, I know that he had like maybe fallings out with people or whatever and stuff like that. But for me personally, he was one of the best guys like to look up to in terms of like an honest man. Yeah, he was a bit old school, but he was just totally brilliant. Like, even the wee things that he'd done for me when I was, I think it was the end of the season that we went down. The Club 12 kind of season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The last game at Hibs, I got on the bench that day. But on the Friday, he hauled me in, and I think I have spoke about this before, that he hauled me in his office on the Friday. And it was one of them that get in my office. And I'm going, what have I done here? Like, what have I done? I'm start racking my brains. Have I done this? Have I done that? Someone that I've not done his boots right. Something like that. And he's came in, slammed the door, and he sat down, and he went, "You done the balls for training?" And I'm like, "Yeah, Gaffer, they're all done." He's like, "Are you doing the kit tomorrow?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'll be there, Gaffer, obviously, last day of the season, but I'll be there, no problem."
Mm.
He just went, "Ah, good son, because you'll need to be, you're going to be on the bench." And it was the way that he said it. It was like proper, like old school way. Like, I was like, brilliant, buzzing. He said, "You deserved it, you've trained great." Then even like, he was like, "How many tickets do you need for your family?" He had all the tickets, so he went, "However many you need, tell me and I'll sort it." So wee things like that just stick with you.
Yeah.
Wee sentimental stuff that he was great for me.
Sentimental stuff, he makes you fear for your life and then tells you
fear for your life. I'm going, worried, sick. But yeah, he was a gentleman to me, and he was one of them as well. He loves you, like, how bad does it sound that he loved you just tearing in about boys and training, and he loved that. Because one of my mates that...
I love that as well.
Well, it was under Archie Knox, wasn't he?
He loved it. But I remember one day in training, I think it was Stephen Doris, had just come back from a long-term injury.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'd like went in at him and he's went, "Cammy, calm down." 2 minutes later, I've done it again. So he's pulled me in at training after, because I only know this story because I'm actually mates with a coach that was involved at Dundee at the time. And he's pulled me in the office in front of all these He's like, "Cammy, we've just got Doris back. You've got to watch. Can't he be doing that?" I went, "Gaffer, so sorry, sort of thing. That won't happen again." Walked out the door. But obviously, as I've walked out, he's went back to the coach. He's like, "I love that." And then he's just like, you never take that out of him, sort of thing. But obviously, he had to give me the wee kind of clip on the ear. But just wee things like that I thought was great. Because I think that's maybe missing in football now is a kind of edge to things, that that some people might not have. But
yeah, builds your character. That
it type, does. Yeah,
folk will probably still have that edge, but you can't. It's like you can't tap them nowadays, really.
No, I mean, games
grow a wee bit soft.
Ever changing.
It is ever changing. We'll put it that way. Yeah.
Developing. Yeah. So obviously, you made your first start for the club in a 4-0 win over Cowdenbeath at Dens, 2014. While the club were fighting for the championship title. So was that a proud family moment, Yank?
Yeah, it would have been. As I say, of my family, I've got a small family, but my dad's always been, you know, a Dundee fan. He was the one that took me to all the first games, like 4 or 5 year old, had my first season ticket, used to go every week with him, and you've grown up obviously supporting and all the memories and stuff. So it was a proud moment for my mum and dad and stuff, and wee sister, even though she's tiny at the time, but yeah, really proud moment. And again, something that you're on about each wee milestone. So I had my debut, yeah, and your first start, and then that's how you kind of, you probably look back now going, right, everything just kind of builds up. And
that was my target, tick, yeah, next target. Yep.
And I played that game, I thought, thought I'd done really well, thought I held my own in that game, and got a great victory that day. I think Whitey scored.
I think
he did. 4-0, Jim, yeah, McAllister, Martin Boyle, maybe Nicky Riley, I don't know. I don't know.
I should really know this.
But maybe Boyle scored too, I don't know.
Maybe it's Cammy remembers.
then we went, I think, well, because I'd done well and I looked, you know, quite solid in that game, went down to Morton the week after. Mm-hmm. And that's when I think all the fans thought I was gone.
Yeah.
And again, in that game, I thought to myself, I've actually done away fine here. I think I've done well. I remember I played two over the top for Nadi and Peter McDonald, and I think just missed the chance. Mm-hmm. And it was just one of those days. We had so many chances to win the game, but it just didn't fall for us in the winter. I remember being back on the bus that night going, oh, no, like that could be the league gone, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And then Hartley pulled me on Thursday or Friday before the Saturday game at away at Alloa and went, look, I'm going back with experience. I'm putting Gaz Irvin in. And at the time, I was obviously devastated. You're thinking, oh my God, typical. But looking back, it was the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was the best thing, not only for me, but for the team. And it was a good managerial decision,
yeah,
from him, and the right thing to do. Because as a younger lad at the time, you're so caught up in probably emotion as well. That's something that I probably struggled with, certainly younger days, is because you're a fan, you're so caught up in the emotion of it all the time, and you probably make rash emotional decisions, eh? But looking back, it was definitely the right thing,
mm-hmm,
that he done, and it kind of took us out the firing line a wee bit,
yeah,
because the pressure game was huge, and for a young lad, would you be able to deal with it? Probably, but you can't always take that risk.
Yeah, definitely.
Except the Alloa game, that was, I mean, when you start getting the scores coming through, Dumbarton are starting to hump Hamilton, and we'll start knocking them in, and you think, oh, league's back on, yeah, again here. We used privy to the scores coming in. We also,
yeah, because I remember, because it was a good day down there, actually. Fantastic. The scores, sunny, I remember, yeah, it, because we were warming up and you could hear the wee groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was the doctor, actually, the club doctor at the time had his phone, and he's going, yeah, it's whatever, 2-0, whatever, at the time. And you start getting that wee sense of optimism, mm-hmm, and it goes 2, and then Beattie scores a third, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm the Dundee fans, and it's just, that's when the confidence starts coming back, and then you've obviously got one game to go and win it, and then it, obviously the rest took care of itself, mm-hmm, that day, eventually, just.
Yep.
But, I mean, that was, again,
two pitch invasions in the space of a week.
Yeah.
As a Dundee fan, yeah, it's not often
you get them, right?
No, not good pitch invasions, but.
No, I know.
But, fantastic, them ones, and I do understand why you probably thought maybe put, like, one of the veterans.
Yeah, no, definitely.
At the time, yeah.
At the time, you're going, how am I not playing? Or,
yeah,
you're raging that you've been took out the team when you think that you've done well. Like, that's one of the worst things ever. But for what it was and the occasion, and like, Gaz was brilliant for Dundee.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at that time, I'm sitting, that's again, you go back to it. I'm not thinking like that. I'm thinking, I've got to get my place here.
Yeah.
In the team. And that's where football's kind of a ruthless way, in terms of the fact that you're fighting to get your place every week. And that was the mindset I had at the time, was to try and get that place for me, eh?
Mm-hmm.
But obviously we got promotion, so that was the main thing.
What a day.
And that, yeah, amazing.
What a day.
So we'll mention a few milestones. We'll go jump ahead a few years. Your first ever goal was against Motherwell.
First ever goal, yeah.
Yeah, that was a left footer as well.
I've almost missed it.
Yeah, watch the highlights. The highlights make it look like you placed it.
We'll go with that.
But I've just
sclaffed right in the corner.
I just watched it and was like, he must have been getting a hell of a nosebleed as he entered that box there.
Yeah, one left foot swipe at it.
Yeah.
It was, you know, again, I look back and an iconic moment, obviously not. It's never going to be a goal that anybody looked back and go, by the way, that's a... But it was good. I think I won it on the halfway line off McDonald. had a wee drive and laid it to Whitey. Mm-hmm. Kind of a wee bit of link up with him. And I always go back to him because I grew up with him and we had those memories of coming through. And you've always got that with somebody. So it was good that it was kind of me and him that done the wee bit of work for it. And then the celebration as well was like, obviously, went mental. But then it was me and him had a good hug as if to say, ah, brilliant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm. Two Dundee boys getting to, you know what I mean, do what you love doing and stuff like that. It was good. First goal, yeah. Didn't like that buzz of having that just still sticks with you.
Yeah.
Still proper sticks with you. It was just, yeah. Even if I scored, I remember going home that night, if I scored one goal and that's whatever I do for Dundee, I'm buzzing.
For a while, it was just the one goal you scored.
Oh, yeah, I know. The next one. I was thinking, I might go actually score
again. I just love seeing how much it means to you.
There's picture of Derek Gerrard, just the match day. He's got a good picture of you and White and celebrating that goal. Yeah. He's got good pictures of that.
No, like, when you say that you've no got time to sit and think about it, when you do get those wee moments or that come back up on your timeline, on your phone or whatever, you go, that was special. Yeah. Special for me, yeah. And something that, yeah, nobody can probably take that away now. You know what I mean? I've been able to have that moment, eh? But once it's done. You've got to keep going and keep pushing on for more things.
What would have happened if you had time to take a touch of the ball and think about putting it back in it? Would it end up in Road W?
Yeah, old boy would have caught it in the crowd. it was just one of those moments that fell. It fell just at the right time, and sometimes you're lucky enough that you're there at that moment. Mm-hmm. And lucky I was that day.
I mean, can't even speak about your first goal, but speaking about your goals this season.
Yeah.
It turned into a wee bit of a goal machine.
Well, yeah, for me, a goal machine. I think this year's been enjoyable in terms of the fact that I've scored some goals, I've assisted a few goals. But that's got a lot of down to do with, don't want to just kind of speak highly of the manager or that, but they've given me that license to to go and not do what I do, but just to express myself, and I don't feel any kind of pressure or anything like that on me at all. I think I've went and played, as you say, I've had to spend probably most of the season at left back, but something that I don't want people to look at me and go, oh, he's playing left back today. Like that's out of character, or that's out of position. That for me, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Like I could get asked to play anywhere, maybe bar up front. But I think I'll just go and do a job.
So you're playing goal then?
I'm not the goal actually. I don't want to do the goalies a disservice because I can't play in there. Yeah. But I just like to think I'd go in and do my best.
Yeah.
And because I've kind of grew up like in love with football and trying to watch the game for what it is, like you know how to play positions, and because I go back to it, playing a youth level even there for two seasons, you've got some sort of muscle memory or whatever, you know what I mean, of doing it. So I don't even think, I wouldn't like to say I'm playing out of position at left back. That's the way I think.
Yeah,
I'm just right, I'm clear, I'm doing my job, and that's the way I look at it.
First couple of times it was weird seeing you in that position. Oh, it was, just because definitely. Purely you've seen you from right back from day one upwards. But yeah. See now when you see you right left at left back, I think anybody bats an eyelid.
No.
And you always put in a good performance as well. So you've got that also, and you're bigging up the manager there, so Jordan Marshall must be making a big comeback for injury, so he's trying to keep in his good books. But
the manager and that have been great, in terms of you go back to that kind of freedom when we've got the ball. I think it's obviously important that, like, you look on the air game Friday night, it was more of a solid, resolute, dogged performance, which we've got in us as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you look back to the back four on and plus the goalie. Like, that was roughly the same back four that we had last season. It's a good mix, and you've always got French as well. And McGee that could drop in there as well as part of the defenders. Don't think I'm missing anyone out.
I'm sure they'll let you know.
Yeah, I'm sure they will let me know. Yeah,
we should probably know.
It's good. It's, and I've got a good relationship with all those boys as well, so that helps. But attacking wise this year, yeah, I need to keep adding to it as well. I'm not just happy having four goals and a couple of assists or whatever it is. I want to just keep going to see what I can get. And that's, don't think, a lot of people going about having personal like goals. I want to get to that. I want to get to this. I don't have that. I just want to be better all the time.
Yeah.
Try and get better all the time. And that's the way I probably look on things. Eh?
See, with the, obviously with Gary coming in, you know, as manager at the start of the season, I mean, have you noticed any like major changes, you know, within the current squad compared to, say, previous squads?
Yeah, like I think the big thing when he first came in was that he bought into what the City's about a wee bit. He came and he moved up straight away and he came into Dundee in the City. He kind of, I remember he spoke to me a few times about certain maybe wee restaurants, wee places to go, and like he just bought into the, you see, you know, about the culture of Dundee and stuff like that and what it means. And even the things that he'd done at the start that was great when he was having the huddles and that out on the pitch and then would go up and clap the fans. Mm-hmm. Whether that's, well, I'll never know, but whether that's his way of getting everyone on side or it's his way of going right togetherness, whatever it is, I think it worked, eh? Mm-hmm. And it had the fans going, right, there's a sense of optimism here.
Yeah, definitely.
With the pre-season. And then the season came and I think what happened was there was obviously the inconsistencies, which you're always going to have. Mm-hmm. Like even now, yeah, we're doing well. There's going to be bad spells for a team. It's about how you get through that. And I think what people need to remember is we moved to Gardine, we had new signings, people coming up from England, people settling in. They were settling in, coming up from away from their families. So not everything's just going to go like clockwork straight away. And I think that's a big thing that maybe a lot of fans and people on the outside don't understand mm-hmm. or see, which obviously they wouldn't see. They're not in it every day. People
probably do, but they don't admit it to themselves.
Yeah, just like sees a player, a new player, as an employee, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's somebody playing for your team, so you better hit the ground running, to be honest.
Yeah, and like, if people don't, mm-hmm. like, I don't think the fans will be sitting there going, oh, well, he's just moved up from London. Mm-hmm. His family are still down the road. He's never done that before. Whoever it may be about, you know what I mean? It could be anything like that. Maybe one of the players has had a kid, they're not sleeping at night.
Yeah.
All these wee things that like I'm starting to look at now, wanting to do coaching after, going, all right, okay, I can see why he's not himself today. Or mm-hmm. And that could just happen on a Saturday. Boys have off days, and obviously I'm not making excuses because we've got to go and win games, mm-hmm. and that's our job at the end of the day. But all these things contribute, and I think going back to the point, the gaffer and Bill and the staff, they've just really kind of warmed to Dundee as a club and a city. And I think you've got to understand what it means to people.
Yeah.
And I think they get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If there was we spoke about it before on other podcasts, the fans have been quite, what would be the word, relaxed compared to other seasons. Like you say, we had kind of inconsistent start to the season.
Yeah.
But the fans still kept backing the team.
Yeah.
We all know fans can be fickle, any team, and they can get on the back straight away. But I've noticed that with the Dundee fans this season, there's been patience with them.
We've been
notorious of no humming.
Yeah, I'd say optimistic as well, because you can see.
I think
that comes across in the way that he speaks, though, as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it's so important, even at this stage of the season, nobody can get carried away.
Mm-hmm.
God damn it. Oh, yeah,
I'm the other day. I mean, you enjoy the victories and enjoy where we are, but there's a lot of hard work and a lot of mm-hmm. you know, setbacks that will come.
Yeah.
We're being top of the league, so there's no foregone conclusions or anything like that. And I think the manager's good at that, in terms of you've got to stay level-headed. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
The moment you get ahead of yourself, that's when you're in trouble. Eh?
Yeah, I like the whole, like, it's the next game. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, it's got
don't
to
want
be.
Don't want to look too far ahead, but you're right. Brilliant.
So the move to the Garden campus, obviously it looks like something that's benefiting the club.
Yeah.
When you were told that's what you're moving away from Dens, don't even be match days, I take it, you go there.
Yeah.
So you're spending time there. So I've been in and seen the facilities myself, and not being in the changing room. No, that's off going for.
Is that off limits?
Players are all in there on the management team, so I couldn't get a peek in there. But I'm had a wee look around it, and it's professional compared to what I've probably seen from previous places we've had. Well, especially Dens. I take it it's got a big impact on the players.
Yeah.
And potentially could have an impact on future players coming in. I take it.
I think it will, and it's been good. I've always, like, since going full time, it's always Dundee's been like a massive club, but still stuck needing to move on to be where they should be in terms of their club stature, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always fallen behind in that. And that's not saying anything out of turn. That's just the honest truth of, things like having to drive away to training to a place that's not yours and come back to Dens, the stadium, where the stadium should be a special place to come. And so things as little as you're there every day, the special feeling goes, okay, we've took that away. You're at your own campus now where everything's there for you. You've got your food, you've got, even the offices and stuff, they're all open plan, so everyone's getting to see each other.
Mm-hmm.
Wee things like that. You're going in and seeing the office staff in the morning, make a coffee. Oh, how was the weekend? Yeah, good. Oh, brilliant game at the weekend. Stuff like that. Wee things that people don't think.
Mm-hmm.
I'll all add up. Gym sessions together. Everyone's in together. You've got all these things that are building up and bringing everything together. And obviously you're going to get teething problems like at the start, that, the pitches were and haven't been, ready and time for us coming back, but there are wee things that you've got to just deal with, and teething problems that you get. But it's been great for us. Like, even for me, you're 10 minutes along the road, you're in early doors, you get to see everyone, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even the boys that travel have really bought into it as well, and you see the wee things at the start, like the wee badges when you come in Dundee. It's Dundee's, so it's yours. At the start, when it got told that we're going there, I thought, is it going to be ours?
Yeah.
Or are we just moving in?
Mm-hmm.
But it's Dundee FC on reception. You've got somebody welcoming you. It's great. So
wee touches of class.
The wee touches that you need. Yeah. People don't think they are important, but they are.
I like the whole sound about the open plan kind of thing.
Yeah.
Listen to me, like home design.
No, it's good. Like, you've got,
if you're seeing everybody and you're interacting with everybody, and it creates that team.
There's been a few things as well that, like, I think even the office staff and the staff get together and they've had maybe a meal out,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. So obviously that keeps everyone together. Yeah. And it's so important. Honestly, I harp on about it because I just think it's huge in football, is like togetherness, mm-hmm. and understanding of what you've got and building a good culture in it. I think it'll be good going forward.
I mean, from an outside point, I would say it looks like it's working. That's my point of view. Like,
yeah, definitely.
Obviously, we're not there all the time, but when you see it, like, just like the fight and everything in the team on the pitch, just the win games 1-2-0, it seems to be sort of coming together. But,
well, we need to just make sure we keep it going. Right. That's the big thing, isn't it?
I'm getting ahead of myself again.
Rein you back in.
Oh, right, yeah, rein you back in, yeah.
Just you're only sure up 10 minutes before. Going to be there.
You
have the janitor open up.
No,
come on, do it again. Yeah. Got bits to put
in. I'll do the bits. Obviously, you came through the youth system. Do you feel you've got some sort of responsibility for the youngsters that are coming through?
Yeah, I do. And that's one thing that I always think about in terms of when I came through. I didn't have, like, I wouldn't say younger pros because I'm 27, but somebody there that would look after you, but make sure that you tell you when things aren't right as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even with the younger lads that are just full time that I talk about, like when I first signed at 16, I think I've got a good relationship with them that I can have a laugh with them, but they respect me in the way that, don't go out of line in terms of being ridiculous and stuff like that, but they'll come to me with things. And I think with boys like Finn, Max, Josh, Lyle, all them, like, we've got to that point where you have a good laugh with them,
mm-hmm.
but they still, like, respect you and you're there for them. You've got their back because they're, like, they're Dundee boys. You kind of always got that with them, eh? But at the same time, they've got that respect that they don't cross the line, which I'd like to think I've got. But they're a good bunch of boys. That's one thing that I think maybe sounding a bit corny or whatever. I think it's like unique with boys for Dundee is that they've all got their wee kind of characters about them. Like you've got Mulligan, who's, you know, he's strong, he's got, you know what I mean?
The big man.
Yeah, kind of, yeah, he is in terms of, like, he's 19, 20, and he's an absolute unit. And then you've got wee Max, who's, you know, quiet, but I think Max Anderson's a top player. You've got wee Lyle, who's coming on great this year.
Yeah.
You've got Finn, who's had a tough time in terms of not being involved when he probably thinks he should have played or whatever, but he's now, you know, back in the fold and he's pushing again, which is great. And they're all just good guys who are very, I'd like to say, like, level-headed, and never get ahead of themselves. And I think you've got to have that. And I'd like to think that, you know, maybe to see that wee bit of that from me, that you try not to get ahead of yourself. I wouldn't like to think that I do. But they've all got a right good chance. There are probably other boys that I've not mentioned as well, like Harry Sharp, the goalie. He's from Aberdeen, but he's done great this year when he's been called upon.
Yep.
I don't want to miss people out. I'm trying to think. You know what I mean? I don't want to be... So if I've missed anyone out, then I don't want to...
Jack Wilkie.
He's at Peterhead again. I get, obviously, been there, so...
Sam Fisher,
Dunfermline. All the boys, they're all good boys, so they deserve to be doing well. I just hope that they keep kicking on and impressing, which I'm sure they will.
That's one thing I've noticed this season and last season is the youth players that are coming through. Because when yourself and Whiting came through, I was just kind of like you. I know there was other boys, Calvin, Eklund and all that.
Yeah.
They were kind of coming through as well. But it seems to be like a big abundance of youth players that we've got that have all got the ability to, and they've been shown they can do it on the pitch, like St. Lyle. About people saying you've got to have height and
weight. Exactly.
And he's proven that wrong with the way he's playing.
Exactly.
Solid as well.
But it seems like with the hard work that's been getting put into the youth team over the past few seasons that you never see at the start. It's always one where you've got to bide your time, and because as a fan, you get to tell we're going to put emphasis on youth and whatnot. But you've got to wait. I mean, it's not just like they can develop overnight and end up play. But it seems like the past couple of seasons, this season, we've seen players coming in that, as they say, they keep their head to the ground. Then potential makings of a Dundee first team player.
Well, that's what you hope, eh? You hope that you can have a team full of these guys, and well, obviously I'd love to be part of that. And you're leading a team that's full of Dundee boys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what the fans want to see is people. But obviously you've got to have that quality. You can't just put people in for the sake of it. But these boys definitely have that. And there's probably a bit. Should I say this? Yeah, I will. Like, there's a bit of pressure on them because we're going to need them this year. But they've stepped up, and even you talk about Josh. Like, yeah, he got sent off that the other night or whatever it may be, but he learned from that, and that again, like, that'll stand him in good stead. I always think that these things will stand people in good stead, because I think they're going to be massive for us.
Yeah. Like any job, you make a mistake, you learn from it.
Yeah, definitely.
Doesn't matter what kind of job it is.
Yeah, and he will, I'm sure.
Then you can see the goal.
I know.
You're right, though. I mean, like Dundee fans, they want to see the youth boys coming through. I couldn't even imagine like a team full of Dundee boys. That'd be unbelievable.
Yeah.
Absolutely unbelievable.
That's what you want, isn't it?
I mean, they're all coming through, and obviously they've all got a bit of talent about it, but would you say like they're probably all pushing for first team?
Yeah, they all.
Do you think
that's
going to, like, obviously that'll probably help their development as well?
Yeah, that's like you start thinking about all that stuff, developing. We spoke about loads already, setbacks, where it puts you, but these boys are pushing every day, and it's not as if they're just turning up to training and making the numbers up.
Yeah,
because I'd be honest enough to say that if they were, these guys are pushing, and I go back to their attitudes and their willingness that they live right, they do everything right, and the big thing, they are level headed. So I just hope that stays with them and that they keep kicking on, because, you know, I'm sure the manager or whatever would say, like, they will play a big part, and they have done already. Mm. And that's not putting pressure on them, because they're more than capable of doing that, and they know themselves they are. So
yeah.
You mentioned you don't really make much targets, do you?
No,
like
I don't. I don't.
Season, but I take it like with the club's target was promotion.
Yeah.
First and foremost, as it's kind of going on, do you maybe think to yourself, I've got 4 goals, I want 5, I've got 4 assists, I'll try and get another one.
Yeah, no, I'll keep pushing. Like every game I'm going into now, I'm going, right, how can it impact the game? I think, you know, if you're in different leagues, you know, if you're in the SPL, Dundee are probably going to be up against it mm-hmm. more. So my mindset changes in terms of, right, you're playing a Celtic or Rangers, you've got to be strong, you've got to be reliable, yeah. defensively good. I'm not saying that we can't be in the Championship, but there's more emphasis on winning and winning and winning.
Yeah.
So that, again, that's my mindset changing, going, right, okay, I've got to give more to this team, I've got to push them on, I've got to help with assists, goals, when I can. But I'll never go, right, I need to get to that. I need to get to that, because if I fall short of that, I'll hate myself.
Frustration
yeah,
kicks in.
I'll
beat yourself up, yeah.
Yeah, and that, I've been bad for that in the past, letting things kind of eat you up. And as a football player, you cannot do that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's a learning curve I've had to learn from, is that you can't beat yourself up about things.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes back to your targets. Like, I'll just keep pushing to be better every week. So if I'm playing well, you keep going, you don't stop. Like, that's got to be your mentality in training and pushing boys on with you. And that's the way I think. And that's what I've kind of always thought, especially in like recent years. Getting older, have more experience, you've got to push people on with you, whether it's giving them, you know, a wee bit of encouragement or saying something to rile them up to get the best out of them. It's for everyone at Dundee to get them better. Eh? And that's the way I think.
I love hearing this, eh? Absolutely love it. I feel like I'm sat in the changing room or something. I think we kind of touched a wee bit, or you might have touched a wee bit, about after your career, about coaching. So, I mean, what are your kind of, have you got any goals or ambitions for?
Well, yeah, I've just lied about the whole thing about no wanting to set goals, because that's one goal I've got. I want to be manager, eh? And mm-hmm. that is something that mm-hmm. I know I want to do, and that won't change. I've done youth academy stuff. I actually take my mate's amateur team. I basically run that. And even the buzz I get off doing that, of getting to run the team and do things the way you want to do, just makes me so excited for management. Eh?
Mm.
Understand that it's a hard thing to kind of, once you're on there, you've got to stay on there, because if you lose your job, then it can be so hard to get another one. But I'm so dedicated to being the best I can be as a player for, you know, however many years I play. Hopefully it's, you know, touch wood, a prolonged career. But after that, I'm so set on wanting to be the best manager I can be, and do everything that I can be to be the best manager as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's maybe looking far too much ahead, but I've done like applied management course in football, I've done my B license, I'm going to do my A license in the summer, and I'm just totally, you know, set on wanting to do that when I finish. And I could go into all the details I've just got so much that I know I want to go and do, and it's probably maybe a bit naive, but individualised for Dundee, because I know what I want Dundee to be.
Yeah.
And it's your culture, your identity, and all these big words that people go on about nowadays. Mm-hmm. And that's all come from people like Barry, John Brown, Paul Hartley, Rab Douglas, mm-hmm. Gavin Ray, that have gave me everything
mm-hmm.
up to now. Then I want to add to that.
I feel like I'm watching my young laddie grow up here.
I know, yeah.
But yeah, that's my goals for after.
So, I was going to ask, like, you know, the biggest influence, you know, for like coaching wise, but I mean, you've just rattled off some of the names, so you've probably taken snippets of what.
Yeah, I'm missing a few boys. Like, I even talk about my mate Craig Ferrett, who's I grew up. He was like my coach when I was so young, but I'm still close with him now, and he mm-hmm. loves football. We speak about football all the time.
Yeah,
but then people like Gordon Wallace, Jockey Scott, who have been coached by Ray Farden and Jinky, who have been so influential that you don't, as you're saying, as you don't always get to think about that. But they guys are so, so influential. Eh?
Yeah.
Like, I know, obviously, Gordon Moss has obviously been struggling with his health and that, but he still comes to the games and I still, you know, he still gives me a wave every week and I think, you know what I mean? That's the most touching thing ever, from somebody that I got coached off a Dundee legend, you know what I mean? Totally Dundee legend. The Jockey Scott, who that I speak about, Archie Knox, you know, knows who I am. I'm thinking, how does he know? You know what I mean? All that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just totally in that of the managers and coaches and stuff, but I want to be on the other end of that one day and doing that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my goals for that.
So take it, see your A-licence.
A-licence, yeah.
Is this like the... This will be at Largs, won't it? Is this
It's at the Orium now.
Yeah.
So I done my B-licence a few years ago, who Jockey was actually my tutor. So...
Seriously?
Yeah, they came... So you get the B-licence where you go down to the Orium for like your 7 days, but we done what was called the bespoke, so the tutors come out to the club, and it was me and Paul McGowan at the time that done that. But Jockey was our tutor at the time, so again I have a lot to kind of owe to him. He was manager when I was coming through as well, so he used to come and watch us and used to speak to us, and again wee things that you just kind of remember. But if I'm wanting to be the manager of Dundee, I'm going to be the, like, this is my idea, that you're at the academy training during the week, you're getting to know everyone's name, you're at the youth games on a Sunday, like you live by being the manager and you do everything 24/7. That's what Paul Hartley said on the car up to the forefront. He's like, it's 24/7, and you've got to do that if you're going to commit to it. So that's the way it's got to be.
Just stealing Paul Hartley's ideas.
You're stealing people's wee ideas. That's all you're doing. You try and put your own twist on things.
Yeah,
he did.
Take influence.
He was everywhere.
Yeah,
he was
and
that's what I like that.
He was every game. He was like 2 or 3 games during the week, maybe scouting players, looking at teams, and then he'd be at every youth game. Because there's nothing worse. See, if you're a youth player wanting to impress and the manager's not there, it's the biggest deflator ever. You see the manager in the stands, you're like, brilliant. And sometimes if you've done well, mainly that was with John Brown, you've done well, you get a chance to train with the first team, and that's what you go back to, is like that chance. It's all you want is a chance to show people what you can do. And he was good for that bomber.
Is there any words of wisdom from any particular manager that you would, if you were the manager, go, right?
I don't think it was a manager, like words of wisdom. It was actually Rab Geddes when I came out the team, and I'll be the first to admit, and everyone knows, like, it's probably not a good thing to admit, but I can overthink a lot about things and try and, like, why they're doing that and overanalyze. And I remember I came out the team and Rab pushed me in the, well, pulled me in the office. He went, look, come here. He's like, never get yourself too high. Never let yourself get too low. He said, you know what I mean by that? I was like, yeah. Like, obviously, like... And that stuck with me, into the fact that, like, I've had some really low times at Dundee, like, really bad. But you can never go under. You've just got to keep thinking that your work rate, your attitude will see you through. And it will. It'll always kind of, you know, things will turn. And when you're doing well, don't get ahead of yourself. You know, because things, again, will change. You'll go through bad spells, so you've just got to stay there. And I think Rab was brilliant for that. Rab's such a humble guy, a nice guy, and that stuck with me. I look at managers and think, like, there's nothing that they've gave me in terms of a quote, but they've all given me something different in terms of what to learn off. Like, Barry's, like, discipline and respect, it was crazy. It was like, just respected the first team. That was, and it maybe was a bit old school, but like him and Jinky gave me everything in terms of my discipline, like even your tidiness in your room. But honestly, we'd be as young lads, like,
seems like an army.
But that's the way that they made you, in terms of, like, they made you the right person. Like on a Friday, Jinky would go across the top of the worktop with any dust. He'd go, there's a team coming in here tomorrow. They're coming to Dundee Football Club. We're not to be taken like. You know what I mean? We want people coming in here. Oh, Dundee's a good club.
Yeah.
So we'd have to go and make sure everything was spotless. So then you start doing that in the house.
Yeah.
You start going home and it's like, your room's tidy, you're cleaning things, and it becomes part of you, who you are, and you go, Bomber just,
nature.
Yeah, and then Bomber was obviously like your hard work, kind of having that bit of grit and determination, and Paul was just realised how much work he puts in, and then McCann, even, I've not even touched on people like McCann, who was a great coach, a great coach, so that's when I start training. I'm starting to thinking about the way he's coaching people and why he's doing things a certain way. So they all bring something. All bring something.
I just wouldn't like to be in charge of dusting dens.
No, not now. No, anyway.
And also, kind of in all that, Rab Douglas is handing out the philosophy chats.
Rab Geddes, was it?
Oh, Rab Geddes, Rab Geddes. I will let that.
That makes more sense.
We had a good pep talk for Jockey. I was kind of glad you never had one for Jockey. We had one for Jockey before we went out on that event.
Uh-huh.
And it was just a case of, then he fucking gave Zinger hard questions.
Yeah,
that was it. Yeah, it just walked away.
He's so dry the way he says it as well. Yeah. You'll be going, oh,
yeah. You can tell he's walking away with a smile on his face.
He's
like, baller, just like, come on.
I know.
Pure passion sweat. He was someone else, like.
Boy. So, well, it's your testimonial season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've also had a couple of events. One with Kenesha, wasn't it? What other players were there? Peter McDonald?
So there, obviously the first event there was Spironi, Kenesha, Charlie, Savo came on. And then we had Peter McDonald, we had Rab Douglas, Darren O'Day, Gowser, a few of the young lads. That I grew up with, and then obviously Legston and Sweeney came on. So it was just that night was more just a mix of coming through and everyone that had been there. So that was great. And obviously the night with Kenesha was kind of a bit surreal seeing him. But just two amazing nights that obviously I can't thank everyone on the committee and that for doing just now. They've been absolutely brilliant, and everyone for coming, because it's been two amazing events that I've wanted to do it in a way that has been special to remember. Not just right, it's your testimonial year.
Yeah.
Two really good events up to now that I've been special that I can remember. And obviously there's the dinner and stuff to come.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were trying to put together like a walking football team.
Well,
maybe it's space enough for me. That's all I can do.
We have the Cy Ferrier one as well.
Yeah.
He kind of what he is.
Oh, he's brilliant, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was even trying to organise that, it's my best mate Jack, he organised that event basically. He'd done a lot of work for it along with everyone else in the committee. He'd done so much. And I was kind of panicking and hadn't spoke to Si too much. And I was going, are we gonna turn up on this night and it's gonna be like a bit of a shambles kinda? And I'm thinking, that'd be terrible, everyone's there watching. And we actually went for a drink together, everyone, first before we went. And I thought, it's going to be a shambles. It's going to be an absolute shambles. And we got in, and it's like Si Ferry just turned. He went, right, started writing away. And he went away, and he was doing his stuff, came on, and he just went away in this kind of, like, moment himself and worked away. And it was crazy, writing down things. And he went on and just took the night. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Everyone was pissing themselves after 2 minutes. Like, it was... just got the crowd going and everyone that kind of just relaxed them, and it just went, I think it went great, really good night for everyone else, it was good.
He just comes across as a boy that just rolls up and
yeah.
Kenny's just going to do a good job.
Yeah, but he was so focused and like organised, like he knew what we were obviously doing, but
yeah.
I didn't know, I was probably thinking it was going to be totally, yeah, it wasn't, had me fooled anyway, so he was brilliant, he was absolutely brilliant.
So what else have you got on the pipeline? Is there any more events, dinners, potentially game?
Yeah, I've got my dinner on the 28th of January. So that's one that I'm looking forward to. I've got obviously everything in line for that. Special guests and that I've invited back that I think have been influential in my career up to now. I've obviously, we're looking at, because there's been such kind of demand for that, we're looking at trying to fit something else in for the people that weren't successful in the ballot for the dinner. And the game we are hopefully close to getting a date for. It could be potentially going into next season, but I think it'll be a good game for everyone, and that's something that obviously I want to get on the table for the fans, is get a good game and hopefully get some people back to play in it, which would be good.
I mean, I'm available.
Give me 6 months.
I played right back for my football team, centre back and right back. So
you can get a game right back, I'm sure.
There we go. Right back in the dressing room. That'll look funny. Well, that's great. That, like you say, it's a testimonial. It's a rarity between Dundee players. I think Smith would have been the last one that who would have had one. Mm-hmm. And after that, I mean, off the top of my head, George McGeechie in the '80s. I think that's probably the last player that's done the service. So I think you're out there with your name as probably the one of the longest serving Dundee players going. So
you don't see it nowadays, like boys staying with one club, but maybe partially like say Gerrard and that, but
you don't. I think that's sometimes, I think, is it a good thing, obviously, like you sit there at a club, but for a club that you've grown up supporting, people, you know. For me, it doesn't get much better.
Yeah.
And as you say, it doesn't happen a lot, but
no. Living out like a pure boyhood dream.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but again, it's something that I probably need to just maybe take note of a wee bit. Mm-hmm. In the fact, you know what I mean? As you say, when I was growing up having a season ticket, I wasn't even going to think that I was sitting here doing a podcast speaking about
your career.
My career, yeah. Saying that I'm actually coming to a testimonial.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that is actually, thinking about it now, that is quite surreal.
Definitely. Do you think you'll make two?
That's what people have started talking about already. I'm going, hold on a minute.
You're young enough.
I think the only person to do that is Malpass at United, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the only one off the top of my head I was able to think of.
He's my neighbour, actually, so I need to make sure I try and get one.
Well, that kind of brings us on to maybe a couple other questions. So, I mean, you've spent all your time at Dens, but has there ever been any other kind of occasion, maybe when the managers came in, or any part of your career that you felt like maybe your time was up with Dundee and you were going to move on, or maybe found yourself out of favour or something?
Yeah, well, yeah, there's been a number of times where, like, I found myself not only coming to the end of my contract, because I've only ever had like 2 year deals max.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been given like, right, you're getting a 3-4 year deal here. That's hopefully maybe you get one, but but I've always kind of, you've had your first year. Like, if you do a 2 year contract, you do your first year, and I'm not saying that's like your safety year,
mm-hmm.
but as well as that, I don't think it's very rare in Scotland that people actually go and buy players now.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get into that last year of your contract, it can be a worrying time.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's been opportunities to probably leave, and there has been things in the pipeline probably in the past when I've, come to the end of my contract. But obviously when Dundee, offer you a deal, it's, then for me, I've always picked Dundee. But being out of favour, yeah, the only time I've been that I felt myself really out of favour was under McIntyre,
mm-hmm.
to the point where I was thinking I could play out my skin and he's not having me. He is not having me. It was literally like when that window came in that January, he wanted everyone related to Dundee like out the door. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, that'll end bad, I think.
Yeah.
You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It was like, I remember it was the Hamilton game. We drew 1-1, but all the new signings came in. And at the time it was, they've done all right. They've done all right there. And it was like 9-10 signings.
Yep.
And it was like, I remember at pre-match, I was getting hauled to say I wasn't playing. Gouser was getting hauled. You're not playing. Daz O'Day, you're not playing. Kenny Miller, you're not playing. Kenny was slightly different because he hadn't been at the club and he hadn't been through, you know, certain things that me, Daz and Gowser had been through. And then obviously McPake had the 18s and he wasn't keen on him doing too much with the 18s. It was like he wanted control on everything. This is McIntyre, obviously.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where I was left out the whole squad at St Mirren. So I travelled down and I was left out the squad and it was Horsfield that played. We got beat 2-1.
Yeah.
But I said to myself, I'm going to run before the game just so the fans can know that I'm not injured.
Yeah.
I need to let people know here, I'm not injured. It's not me that's doing this.
No.
You know, I'm doing this. I'm fit. I'm ready to go. I'm not getting picked. So I'd done that and I went to go and do it on the Tuesday night at St Johnston as well because I got left out the squad again. We got beat 2-0 or 2-1. And I went to go and do it again on the Tuesday night and I thought to myself, you know what, just in case he thinks it is for anything, I'll do it before any fans come in this time so it's for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to go and run before the game and I got the old pull back from the assistant. You're not doing that. I mean, I'm doing that. You need to physically stop me. I'm going out to do my runs. You're training tomorrow. You're not doing that. I went, I'm doing it. He went, speak to the manager. So the manager was like, you're not going out. So I obviously you need to be careful. Eh? You can't go and, so I was sitting in the stand. We got beat 2-0. Boy Horsfield, I don't think, had a great game.
Mm.
And I got totally basically abused on the third. Not abused, that's ridiculous to say. But I got hauled from the manager and basically, don't you ever speak to somebody like that, my staff, or I'll boot you out the door. On the Thursday, played on the Saturday. He put me back in the team on the Saturday and played every game up until then.
Yeah.
Like we were basically close to relegation, but that was kind of the run-in period. Went in the Aberdeen at home and he put me back in and that was just kind of me thinking, you don't do that.
No.
You don't do that to people. Eh? And I just... Just a few things that riled me up, Mum. A few comments about United that I thought, come on, you're not saying that. You know what I mean? But yeah, that was just a hard time, eh?
Yeah.
For me and a few other people at Dundee and for the club, because there was people that still work there that were so disheartened with everything.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's the closest I've seen to a club. I'm thinking, that's killing so many people. You're killing. You're taking the heart out of the club. Just a short period of time.
Yeah. I mean, there's boys that I know that are well involved with Dundee and I've been there for many years and they say that's probably the closest they've came as well. To thinking I can maybe move on.
Yeah. It was so difficult. It was not, again, go back to the question that's probably the closest I've come to moving on. Because I thought I had my heart and head set that I'd have to leave. It was difficult to do, but... Had it said that I might need to go.
You kind of sensed it though, like sitting from the stand watching that team, that just someone was off.
I think
when the appointment was made, it was universally not accepted.
Correct.
So we kind of weren't expecting much, but weren't expecting.
So little.
And some of the signings. You know what? Didn't even get me started on
McIntyre's
reign. It's a PG podcast, this thing, Paul.
Yeah.
It's a PG podcast. Leave it up.
Yeah. We'll
keep it to the
18 plus, yeah. Definitely. But we'll go on to a wee lighter thing.
Yeah.
Maybe not lighter, but who's been the biggest... I'm allowed to say that?
You're able to say that, yes.
I'm allowed to say that, right. Okay, who's been the biggest pain in the arse? Like, either a player that you've played with or even a player from an opposition.
Actually, if you're able, pick one that you played with and one that opposition. Make it tasty.
Pain in the arse that I've played with?
My mate, Gowser.
I knew that would be the answer. Yes, yeah.
Me and him, we've got like a special kind of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that when I was younger, they used to give me a torrid time. They did. And obviously it's been highly documented that they've done that. But it made me kind of stronger for it.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got a good relationship now in terms of, you know, he's a good mate and stuff. But the amount of times on the pitch that he has bawling and shouting at me, I'm like, I know, please don't, please don't. I know I've just gave it away again. And he's just like, he's just the way he plays, because he's so on edge and he wears his hat on his sleeve. Yeah. And that's just the way Gouser is. But obviously, you learn to kind of deal with that as you go.
Even when he does a bad pass to you, he probably shouts.
Yeah, yeah. Why haven't you moved?
He's
for that?
Himself.
Why haven't you moved that 50 yards to get that?
So I've just learned to. I've just learned to put that. It was my fault.
Yeah.
And the biggest pain I've played against, I don't.
Or toughest, maybe toughest, maybe a better one.
Toughest,
for
yeah.
I know that
somebody
yeah.
that just like that all the way through the game. Gibbering. I don't.
Gibbering.
There's obviously there. I'm not. I don't want to go and say like boys obviously give you a wee bit. Try and wind you up on the pitch. Mm-hmm. There's nobody that really sticks out. I just remember the thing, obviously, with Jordan Jones, that when he dived for that penalty.
Oh, yeah.
Forgot about that.
And I kind of probably got stitched up a wee bit in the press with it, that after it, they were all speaking about it. And they were like, oh, if you get a chance this week when you play him? And I was like, yeah, obviously, if I got a chance, I wouldn't want to miss him. And they basically highlighted that in the Sun, being like, yeah. Dundee defender won't miss. And they ended up beating us. And obviously Jones tweeted about it after. And I didn't have Twitter, but I was getting shown it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking to myself, well, I've been stitched up here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But I didn't reply to it. I just left it. So that's the only thing that I think. Me and him, I had a good few tussles over the years and stuff like that. So that's the only thing that I really think kind of was...
Mm.
That game cost McCann.
It did. That was his last job, and it was a dive.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, I kind of felt horrendous after that. So that was his last game.
Yeah. So I didn't mean to put that on you there.
No, no, well done, Cammy.
Feel terrible, right? Yeah. But yeah.
Pointing the finger right at him.
I know.
But I think you maybe mentioned earlier on about football and heroes growing up. I've got a picture of you, and I was trying to find it last night. It's in one of the scrapbooks, and it's, I think it was in like the mail or something like that, and it must have been like from an open day, and it's a picture of you getting an autograph or waiting on an autograph for Andy McLaren.
Is it? Yeah.
So is he one of your heroes growing up?
No. It was.
I was wanting to slide over and you like line of duty.
Yeah.
Can
you explain that?
But I couldn't think that
took
ages and
oh, no.
No, he was definitely not. But, that was, again, like that was me growing up.
Yeah.
Like, I do have a little giggle to myself in the fact that, like, I was at all the open days. I was at all the calendar sign-ins. I was there on the pitch trying to scoop the snow off for the Motherwell game and all
yeah.
that. Like, even on Friday, I was sitting there thinking... If I wasn't here, I'd be in the stands,
mm-hmm.
going mental.
Yeah.
And that's when I've got to rein it in and be like, right, I've got to play for the team here.
Picture Kevin loving the flare.
The pyro.
Yeah.
So all these things, yeah. But yeah, going back to that would have been an open day that I was getting all the autographs and
mm-hmm.
just being in all the players and stuff like that.
Any of them stand out? Any players at that time that you fought?
I don't know why as well. I used to like Simon Lynch.
Simon Lynch?
Yeah, I don't know why. Well, he was when I was getting to that stage where I was going in like the Derry and that. And I think, did he not score that goal against Hamilton in the Cup?
He scored.
What's his name? Stephen Craig that scored, maybe.
Well, Stephen Craig scored the winner.
Yeah, he scored
one.
The
yeah,
winner.
Yeah.
I remember that night.
Lynch scored a few against, like, St. Mirren. I think we beat them 4-0 at one point. And he got a few there. I think St. Mirren were flying high at that time. And. Yeah, always
those players, like you always say. Just be like, obviously, when I first went, I was like Smith, Mzadzi, Zara,
yeah.
Kitzbaya, like but then, obviously, we had the time in the Championship, and it was different players like Ian Anderson and trying to think back, Simon Lynch.
When I was younger, Ian Anderson was one of the players that I, obviously, when he came for the youth ranks, it was him, and he winds me up with it. Jerry O'Driscoll had the old fucking brewery top, and had O'Driscoll sign that one and Anderson signed that one.
I didn't know that he came back, eh?
Yeah, he did.
It wasn't until later that I was like, all right, okay, he was a youth and he came back.
Yeah.
I didn't wind you up about O'Driscoll. Maybe you do.
It was a goal machine.
Yeah.
Probably coming up.
Yeah, well, well.
Yeah. <You're right. laughs> So here's a wee one. On the spot.
Uh-huh.
Give us your best Dundee five-a-side team.
Yeah, that's...
That you've played with.
Yeah, because that's probably changed so many times. I think I have been asked this a few times, and I've changed about three boys in it every time. I'll probably go back. I'll go Big Rab in the goal, because obviously I was just coming through. He was the goalie. I thought, yeah, proper legend. And I'm going to miss people out there. I mean, I want to put Daz in there, but Daz O'Day, but Stephen Cocker played with us, and he was absolutely brilliant. So I'd go Stephen Cocker, Glenn Kamara, Charlie Adam, Paul McGowan.
You left yourself out.
I know.
Yeah,
are you a new manager?
I'll just be manager.
I wear the suit on the side.
Yeah.
He's got his A license.
I've got an A license, so I would obviously, I'd like to play in that team, but in terms of people that I've played with,
yeah,
they were, I mean, I could put Gov in there, but see for sheer like talent,
mm-hmm,
I'd go with that
Kamara
team.
Was someone else.
You got a worst that you think I would hate to play on. They do well, but I'd hate to play on it because it would just be moaning.
No, Gowser.
Paul McGowan on his
team. Yeah, team of Gowser.
Paul McGowan with different hairstyles.
Yeah, so. Oh yeah.
It's actually came in all right, to be fair.
It's tough.
It's great. Fantastic, by the way.
I know, I might have gave him a shout.
Going open for a while, it wouldn't come in, so I had something to...
There was a point
to slaughter him about, yeah, but it's actually came in now.
There was a point I thought that there's bits that have been bald, that when they bald before.
Yeah.
And I thought, this isn't happening for him. What a shame. It's coming into winter, but...
It's great.
It's blossomed.
Yeah, it's looking good.
It's blossomed like a fine rose or something like that.
What leather.
But we've spoken about maybe probably was your least enjoyable time playing with Dundee.
Yeah.
But we'll end the podcast on what would have been your most enjoyable time. What could be have any factor in it at all? It doesn't have to be like a result based.
Yeah,
what time
just
was
a
your
period.
Best?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I look and there is different times that I think, like when my breakthrough season and I got player of the year, because I looked at all the player of the years that had went before and there was proper big names on there, and I'm sitting there going, not that I've joined them, you know what I mean, but I had got on that list of Rab Douglas, Neil McCann, Barry Smith, Kanija,
yeah,
all these boys that had won player of the year, and I'd now I'm there, but you want more of that and you strive for it again. Like that was a time that I thought, oh my god, yes, I've done something, I've got, because that was the Andrew De Vries trophy. I always wanted to be one that won that. That was a good time. But I go back to when we got promoted in the COVID season.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably a moment that stands out only because I'd had a tough time in not playing for about 3 months. It was like I go back to actually miss that out. That was a tough time.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was... Nobody was in the stands. It was like I was kind of felt dead isolated there. I wasn't playing. It didn't really matter what I was doing. I wasn't playing. Well, obviously, that's up to the manager. So I just had to keep working away. But it was a tough time. And to come at the end of that and play in the important part of the running, and then to go down to Killy and that night. And like a photo that I keep is like the photo of the boys chucking me up in the air.
Yeah.
I almost feel like they maybe felt like it was like you've been through a tough time, but you've kind of came above it and you've got to look to where we are tonight and all that. And that was just like a proper nice moment.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice moment. So
yeah,
that sticks out
for
me.
Because as well, that season it was kind of stuck to start, wasn't it? And yeah, well, you also had Hearts who, I mean, it was Hearts, wasn't it? The budget they had and what they won that league, but we just hit the form at the right time.
Yeah,
got the results and the two displays against Kelly as well.
They were good performances. Like there's games you play in that you think,
like there's just wee moments that can change a game and everything's on like a knife edge, but mm-hmm. they games where we're dominant.
Yeah.
As soon as the game started and the home game at Dens, I thought, we're on this.
Mm-hmm.
And then yep. I just knew.
Yeah. When they scored, it wasn't in the case of 2-1 up and it's half time technically.
Yeah.
You were gutted, they scored because yeah. it was like, they didn't dominant, deserve that
yeah,
at all.
They
did not deserve that at all. And then, so we went down there and got the early goals.
Yeah, they helped down there. But yeah. totally silenced. Was a wee bit, not worried about that, but they had the crowd
mm-hmm.
going in the second game, mm-hmm. Which was obviously can help, but we just silenced them
mm-hmm.
early doors. So that helped. So it was good.
Yeah, so hopefully we've got another promotion battle to speak about for Cammy Kerr Part 2 in 10 years' time.
Yeah.
We'll see.
But Cammy, thank you very much for coming on.
No problem.
Yes, really appreciate that. It'd be fantastic. Great answers and all that. I know Paul's been really excited. He's been giggling like hell about it the past couple of weeks. So.
He certainly has.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having me on. I've appreciated that. So it's been good.
No problem at all. And thanks everybody for listening. And we'll see you back next week with more episodes from the Up With The Bonnets podcast.